You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, great to have you join me on the podcast today. One of the most asked questions is, how do I find new clients? So it feels right to have Katie Whitledge as a guest today. She is the founder of Meet Your Stylist, marketing company for hair salons. And she is also the host of Beyond the Technique podcast. You can find it on iTunes, and founder of Be Inspired Salon. Now, not only is she juggling multiple businesses, but her goal is to help clients and stylists meet each other for a happy union and a long-term rewarding relationship, one I think that you need to hear all about. So let me introduce to you Katie, who is going to talk to us today about how to attract and find new clients. Katie, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Larissa.
We were just talking before we hopped on how awesome it is that we can be connected on opposite sides of the world. Why don't you tell everybody where you are, all the business hats that you wear, and how you got to where you are now?
Oh, my goodness, so much. Well, I am from Madison, Wisconsin, and I have a few things going on all in the beauty industry. I'm a lover of the beauty industry, and I started as being a salon owner myself. So in 2010, I opened up Be Inspired Salon. I started with a team of two, and now we have a team of almost 20. So that has been fabulous to grow that company. In the midst of growing that, I found there to be some marketing kind of challenges that I wanted to overcome. And marketing's one of my main jams. I just love it. And so I developed a company called Meet Your Stylist, which is a marketing company for hair salons. And we can kind of dive into that later as it pertains to our talk today. But that helped me control the experience of new clients when they were going to visit our salon for the first time. And then Additionally, like you, I just love connecting with professionals throughout the U.S. So I started the Beyond the Technique podcast, which really, I mean, the name says it all. We want to help professionals in the beauty industry become successful on all of those topics that go beyond their technical aspects of being behind the chair. So these are the fun things that we have going on here.
I think that's awesome. And you are my first fellow co-host of or host of a podcast. So it's great to have you here today. I'm excited to talk about the topic of attracting new clients. But before we do that, I'm super keen to hear how you manage all the hats. You're wearing, you know, multiple hats with multiple businesses. Tell me a little bit about what does life look like for you?
Well, there's two companies that I'm running, and I really could not do it if I hadn't gotten the salon to the point where they were functioning fabulously without me present. So it took some time to get there, and it took me willing to kind of let go of being in control of absolutely every little thing at every little moment. And trusting my team and building up the kind of people that I knew would treat this business as their own and love on each other and the clients that were visiting and really all be out for the same mission for the salon. So after about 6 years running the salon, I kind of got to this point where it was doing so well on its own. You know, I hate to admit I was a little bored, and I love the entrepreneurial life. So it's like, what else is there? What's the next big thing that I can work on? And because marketing is such a passion, you know, that was the next step. And I saw this need also in the beauty industry for what you and I are doing, which is the podcasting, giving just free education, having conversations that inspire and equip people to become more successful in this industry, because there's a lot of us out there. People joke there's a salon at every corner, and there really is. So I wanted to connect us all. I wanted to have us be a community where we are there to collaborate and build each other up. And so this was just a part of how that progressed. I never could have done it if the salon hadn't been so successful.
Now, you realize that we have multiple points of similarity. So not only do we have a podcast, but my missions, or the most important thing that happened to me in my business, was my ability to step out from behind the chair and actually run my salon. And to do that, like you say, you need to build your team, you need to develop the people, you need to learn to let go. And when I sold my salon 5 years ago, I worked in the business 15 hours of the week, and really it was actually working on the business and managing the managers. And so I know that achievement is, you know, it's a hard won achievement. And it's something now that is very close to my heart, and I help with my coaching program. It's called Freedom and Profit, to help people get out from behind the chair and actually run and grow their business, and often to be free to do other things. So that's really awesome. That's really interesting. And not only that, you went and developed a marketing technology for the industry, which I also did when I sold my business. So we have some... we're kindred spirits. Anywho, let's talk a little bit about the topic of attracting clients, because it's probably the question I get asked the most. And when I am in multiple Facebook groups for the industry, it is the question that is asked the most: how do I attract new clients into my business? And so you've got some really great thoughts and knowledge around that topic. So let's dive on in, shall we?
Let's do that.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about knowing who are we attracting in the first place. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, that, Larissa, really is the first step. When you're looking to attract clients to your salon, the first step is knowing who's your target market. You know, oftentimes in the business world, this is called your avatar. Who is your dream client? So I would just encourage you to sit down with your top influencers at your salon and really write out a summary, a little just list of all the characteristics that describe your ideal client. And maybe you have a few at your salon that you just adore, you know, from the moment they walk in, the way they treat your front desk, the way the front desk interacts with them, the way your stylists interact with this client, how they buy products, they rebook, they refer friends. This is probably the number one client you have in your salon. If you could take that person and duplicate them, you would do it in a heartbeat. Who are they? That's the first step, is discovering that person and writing down just everything specific about them. So specific that you're naming this person. Maybe we call her Debbie, or maybe we call her, you know, Sandra. But you really put this kind of real life image in front of everybody, and your, you know, from your front desk, your stylist, your marketing team at your salon. So you all have a clear idea of who your target market is. And when you know that, and then you can move forward. But until you kind of sit down and hammer that out, you know, they shop at Whole Foods, or they don't, maybe. They are a Lululemon girl. They love Athleta. They love, are they kind of outdoorsy and sportsy? Are they more conservative and classy? What, you know, every kind of little detail you can put together to define them. It truly does. A lot of people are scared about this step. You know, they don't want to discourage having people walk through the door, but oftentimes we're more discouraged by our low new client retention rates versus, wow, maybe it's all about the quality over quantity. And if we can find the right people up front, then the long-term gains are just a lot more successful for us. So that would be my recommendation for the first step.
I'm so pleased that you said that, actually, because the biggest objection I get when I talk about this topic is, but I don't want to exclude everybody else. If I only focus on Debbie, what about all the Janes and the Marys that, you know, they're not going to come anymore? But this just simply is not the case, is this, would you say? Or is it better to only have Debbie and more Debbies are going to stay and you're going to have less churn?
Well, exactly. That's it. You know, and are you going to have, we're going to kind of call these, if you had to identify all your clients that currently come to your salon, you could kind of call them your A, B, C, D clients. Now, surely you want to get rid of your D clients because truly they're the ones that don't, you know, respect your salon the way that you know they should. So if we just were to say A, B, C, you know, clients, C's are the ones that come once a year, or if you're running a special, they'll show up. Your Bs are the ones that come pretty regularly. They don't always rebook and they'll buy product here and there. And then you have your A clients that, wow, they're the ones that, you know, they're booking out, they're showing up. We very rarely have to deal with any rebooking because they're committed to their schedule with you. When they are there, they're taking your product recommendations. They're excited about it and so excited that they're the ones that are referring their friends. So If you really want to grow a long-term successful clientele for each one of your stylists, the goal is let's find more that are like your A clients and really to identify who are they.
I really like that because it actually sort of sets you free from having to be all things to all people. And it makes your job a little bit easier as a marketer and a business owner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we've got Debbie. We've got Debbie down pat and we know what she likes and where she likes to go. What do we do next? Where do we find, how do we go out and find Debbie?
Well, once you know really who you're looking for, then you have to ask yourself, where do they hang out? And we're going to ask ourselves two things. Where do they hang out digitally? Mm. And where do they hang out physically? So if you know that Debbie is physically a part of her community in different capacities, whether that means she's out volunteering for certain organizations or she's a part of your local business chambers, networking groups, then you need to go where Debbie is hanging out. Okay. Physically, yeah. You want to be a part of that, your community in those ways. Digitally, you know, if your target market is between the ages of 18 and 24, then you're probably going to want to hang out on Snapchat. If your target market is between the ages of, you know, 25 and 30, maybe more so Instagram. And if we're looking at 35 and up, we're looking to, you know, Facebook. So it's recognizing from a digital perspective versus physical, where do we need to be hanging out? And how do we need to then speak to these people once we know where they are?
Yeah, for sure. Can we talk about that a little bit for a moment, the language and speaking to a specific person? Because I think this is something that without intention or clear intention, we can get it so wrong. So tell us a little bit, what do you mean language? Let's talk about language.
Sure. So if your Debbie physically hangs out in the community and they're a part of networking groups, then it's so important to encourage your team and management to be a part of those groups as well. And then that kind of language becomes a little bit more professional. You are speaking to topics that are important to those people. And if those people like to talk business, then you're going to want to be well versed in the different topics that they may talk about with you. And that's more the business side of things. So that could look like talking about marketing, what's some cool strategies in the marketing world. That may be talking about, hey, how can I help you out? How can we help grow each other's businesses, cross promote, build each other up? If Debbie is involved in certain organizations or charitable groups, maybe it's getting your salon on board with choosing a local charity that you can kind of, you know, donate some time and volunteer as a team together and be a part of that community. And so you kind of know that saying that you become the sum of the five people you spend the most time with, or you may have heard the saying, birds of a feather flock together, or you are who you hang out with. So you, by being around these people are around your target market, you will start to be influenced by them. That'll rub off on you, and you will kind of learn to speak their language in a face-to-face, physical, you know, being present. Now, I will say that can be so daunting to the younger generation. For some reason, it's not, they feel a little anxious about having to be professional. And it's shocking to me because when they're behind the chair, they are 100% in control. They are the ones who are professionally speaking to their clients. And yes, you all have your own personality, your own unique kind of ways you talk to people. That's your own touch per se. But you still are putting yourself out there. So it's always surprising to me with young stylists who are scared to then go out and kind of mingle in an environment. And it really comes down to kind of facing that fear of being around the unknown and still showing up and being a part of it anyways. So that's my suggestion for the physical. Now, when we look at digital, how do we speak to people on platforms? Let's just start with Snapchat because we brought that up. Now, I am not on the younger side of being a millennial, but I am technically a millennial. I'm like the oldest age that you can be. So all of my employees are on Snapchat. And quite frankly, I've had to just straight up ask, like, hey, how do I use this thing? And what's cool? What's not cool? How do we send snaps to each other? I mean, is this appropriate? How do you know? So it's just fun to just ask your team and let's all ask each other. If you don't know how to speak to each other on that platform, you just need to ask. I'm sure there's people on your team that are into it and can show you. And that's where the trust comes in. You know, you have a heart for helping people find freedom from stepping off from behind the chair. Well, and when you do that, you know, we have to, as owners, really look to our team and our employees to help us. So, you know, let's put our pride aside and say to our young stylists who sometimes we think they don't know, they don't have a clue what I'm going through. They have no clue what it takes to run a business. Well, maybe that's true, but they do have a clue on how to use Snapchat. So let's tap into their brilliance and their expertise on these areas and simply find out how to use that platform and how to speak to people on there. It's really all basically Snapchat is like texting and pictures, period, all day long. It becomes, I mean, instead of texting each other, what's up, how's your day? They're just sending pictures with little, you know, fun words on it. And it's just, that's the way they are now. And I know a lot of younger people, they don't even text their parents or any of their friends anymore. It's all about Snapchat.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Now when we're on Instagram, Instagram's a different birdie than Facebook. So I'm going to actually skip forward to Facebook to talk about the difference because that's where things started out. Facebook is going to be where you're going to talk to probably the majority of your clientele who can afford you on a regular basis. We're going to go to Facebook first. Facebook is where it's still cool to share promotions, flyers, events, things going on at the salon, more, you know, you definitely want to share your hair pictures on Facebook, but that can be more of a conversational platform, asking questions, where you would expect your viewers, your followers to actually comment or reply. If you won an award, you could expect that's where they're going to, you know, say congratulations to you. This is almost like for your clients that are in that age range, 35 and up, this is going to be almost like the new way to email. And you just happen to constantly have images or little videos that go along with your emails to them. So think of it like that. And the ability to communicate and have conversations in that platform. So now we're going to go to Instagram. What the big difference is, Instagram is all about the hair images, you know, once in a while having, and things are about looking pretty. So are people going to be motivated to come to your salon because you post a really pretty picture of your products that you have at your salon? You know, we might like that picture and we might follow you because you post a pretty picture of products. But I'm not, unlike Facebook, if I see, oh, look at these amazing products, here's what they can do for you, you know, click here. Well, you can't click here in Instagram, right? There is no clickable links in your copy. So you have to always say link in bio, or they'd have to struggle to find more information on products, I actually say, like, avoid it. I mean, if products isn't your number one thing that you're selling all day long, and it's more about the services, you know, getting them in the door, so then the after or the second sale is the products, the third sale is the rebooking. We'll get into that. But the point is, really using Instagram as a platform to appease to your crowd that are into beautiful hair and things. Okay. If you want to attract people because your salon does amazing balayage hair color, and you want to become that salon that's known in your community as the spot for this service, this is that platform to really wow people and say, wow, their work is amazing. If I'm going to get this service, I want to go to them. So I'm hoping, Larissa, you can tell me if this is offering good advice on the verbiage topic or the communicating topic.
No, I really like that you have identified the different behavior and language and purpose for each platform. I think that's really important, and specifically ties into the who you're trying to attract, because each platform is so different. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it gives us some focus rather than just sort of posting or doing anything randomly. It actually gives some focus and direction to what we're doing, because I think it is hard sometimes, you sit in front of your computer and think, gosh, I haven't posted anything for a while. What the heck am I going to post? That certainly gives us some direction about it, the purpose, our purpose for being, and why we're on social media. And I think certainly it would help or would be easier if your ideal client is more similar to you, because you'd resonate a little bit more, and that you're having conversations that come naturally to you. And the challenge often is when, you know, you are different from your ideal client, and that's when you really need to rely on your team that you have around you to bridge that gap, I guess, and be open to focusing on that one person and relying on your team to supply that that feed of information. So I think that's all useful, helpful, focused information for us. Thank you.
Yeah, and I would just recommend for the listeners, you know, don't try to be everywhere, because sometimes it will just kind of do a mediocre job of being everywhere. Be one or two spots and go heavy and really commit. And that's the same advice I'd give for the in-person physical aspects. Mm. Do not be a part of every charitable organization in your city. So pick one or two that you really have a heart for, or that your team all chooses together so they feel invested in it as much as you would want them to. So, and then one part that I didn't really touch on for the digital experience and how to find your people is also when you think about what's really the next progression for everybody, what's the behavior of people when they actually are almost ready to come in to have an appointment with you, where are they going to go? And the answer is your website. Mm-hmm. So you really have got to visually build that website based on who your target market is, number one. And number two, the way you speak to people on your website is going to also determine, you know, what kind of person's going to end up coming in to do business with you. So we could have like five different podcast episodes on
this is true.
But the whole point is they are behaviorally, no matter what, I mean, 99% of clients are going to go to your website before they go to your salon.
Agree. And I think the only thing I want to add to that is, which is kind of what you've been saying, but just to summarize, is that your website, including your socials, it's not about you. It's about your client and what she cares about and the language that she's interested in and the way, because I think it's too easy. You know, the salon is my baby and I grew it from nothing to what it is now today. And it's really easy to talk about, you know, we are specialists and I did this, but in fact, it's not about us at all. It's about our client. And very specifically, it's about our Debbie client or whoever it is that we're trying to attract. So that would be my only addition.
Sure.
All right. What about, so Debbie's now decided that she wants to come and visit us and book an appointment with us. What about actually getting these clients to make an appointment? What about the call to action?
Yeah, great question. So really, Larissa, when they're at that point on your website, you have to, as a salon owner, ask yourself, what makes us different than any other salon in our area? Because, you know, it used to be that your salon could be the standout salon because when you walk in, you have the most amazing design in your salon. And nowadays, there's so many resources available to salon owners to have beautiful aesthetics internally that's no longer a standout because unless you're kind of on the old school side of things, most salons that have I would say 4 to 5 star salons. So these are the salons with a great reputation. They are going to have great aesthetics. So that's no longer a unique selling proposition. Mm-hmm. Okay. Same with your website nowadays. Nowadays people can go off and start their own Squarespace website because of the graphics built into all of these different templates for salon owners. They can have these magnificent looking websites that if you're all attracting kind of an affluent type of client, when they go to your website and, four other salons in your area that are all attracting a similar target market, you know, what's really going to set you apart? Because for the most part, you're all going to have fabulous websites. Are you with me here?
Absolutely. Without doubt.
So they're on your website. It's as beautiful as the one they just looked at when they were Googling hair salons. What on your website is going to be the difference maker? And that's where Meet Your Stylist comes in. So as Larissa had mentioned earlier, and I kind of brought up, I started Meet Your Stylist. It's a marketing company, but let me just tell you, it helps people become clients at your salon. And here's what it is. It is a psychologically savvy survey that lives on your website that clients will take because everybody loves taking surveys about themselves. And yep. It's all about the client. Okay. And then at the end of them taking this survey, they are submitting their information to you. So you're capturing a lead. And when they press meet your stylist, they get to see, boom, their top 3 stylists at your salon that are the best fit for them. Now they have the power to choose. Do I pick one of my matches that is the most advanced, more of a master level? Do I pick somebody based on availability? Do I pick somebody based on my beauty budget? It's the most powerful thing I ever, and I'm not trying to pat my own back. I'm saying, look, I needed to have a way to control the experience of a first-time client versus just booking them with somebody who happens to be great at balayage and that's what they're looking for. It is not about that. We are in the relationships business. I need to identify psychologically who is this person and who are these stylists and how do I connect them so that they have a long-lasting relationship. And additionally, if I have a stylist leave and they've already made a connection with somebody at my salon, how do I encourage them that there are other stylists that would be a great fit for them? And we wanted to have a culture where our clients knew that they could stay under our roof and work with a few people. Because not everybody's a great fit. Some people like whiskey, some people like wine. How do I encourage that kind of culture? This Meet Your Stylist solved 5 major problems for my salon. And I won't get into all of it, but really it was helping us get people excited about booking their first appointment. There no longer was this awkward kind of blind date experience when they first came in because people are typically pretty scared to see a new hairstyle. Oh my gosh, I hope she gets what I mean. I hope she listens or he listens or whatever. And your stylists don't have that awkward, oh man, I want them to trust me. I hope I remember to say everything right. And it really just made this now an exciting experience for their first time. And really the final outcome, and this is one of the main reasons I started it, is new client retention. You know, I talk to a lot of salon owners that have great overall retention. Their whole salon as a whole, the people that keep coming are going to keep coming, but their new client retention rates are low. And nationally in the United States, the new client retention rate is under 30%. Less than 3 out of 10 people that visit your salon for the first time are going to come back again. And it's disgusting. Yep. And it's no different than our talk about finding the right client, attracting the right person. It'll take, it's like that pain of like, okay, let's go after this one type of person, this perfect person for us. It's no different. It's like, let's take the time to make sure we're matching people up with the right stylist the first time, because then when they're here, we're actually going to keep them. So
I love this. I just think it's, you know, it's like a, you know, the dating site to fast track, you know, finding a husband, but for the salon, I just think that is so on point. Because it is, it's daunting for the client to find a new stylist, and your, the staff member website, web page on your website is the second or third most visited page on your website, because you're right, we're in the relationship business. Getting your hair done is one thing, but finding the person and trusting them, and oh, it's actually really daunting. So I think amazing. I'm really pleased.
Well, you're a
that.
Woman after my own heart, Larissa, because I preach that same thing every time I see you. Your bio pages have to be there. It is the second most visited page on the website. You're right. And it's so important. And I just want to give everybody listening a visual. You know, it's so funny that we have podcasts. I love them. Typically, hairstylists and salon owners are more kinesthetic or visual learners, not so much audio. But
yep.
Regardless, you're here listening, so we know that you're into audio. So perfect. But I do want to give you a visual. So if you could imagine visiting a website, a salon website, and everybody has always, you know, already seen that salons have their like Facebook or follow us on Instagram. You have those little icons, those little Instagram or Facebook logos on your website. So when you're thinking about what does it mean to be a Meet Your Stylist salon and have this web application on your site, it is no different. You could have language on your site that says, you know, discover which of our stylists is the best fit for you. Click here, and that click here would take them to your own custom webpage. That's your Meet Your Stylist survey. You can have our Meet Your Stylist logo on your page, and it would look no different than having kind of like that Instagram logo on your page. When they click on it, it's going to take them to your Meet Your Stylist survey. So it can be, you know, involved in your website and on social media. I just wanted to help you have a visual of, I want to get what this Meet Your Stylist thing is. So I'm hoping that helps everybody understand, okay, I kind of get this is what it would look like if we were to have that.
Yeah, that's great. And so let's talk a little bit about the mechanics of that now, because I can hear people's brains ticking over and saying, how does it work? So they click on that, the client takes the survey, and your staff have taken the survey themselves or have engaged in it somehow. So there's this matching process. Tell us a little bit about that. How does that work?
Yeah, so that's great. Thanks. When your salon signs up, you will basically build your roster. So as the salon owner or salon manager or whoever heads up your marketing department, they will add the stylist to your team. And that gives them the ability, the stylist, that is, the ability to go into create their own little profiles, which is their, you know, headshot, a little bio about them. And, of course, take their part of the survey. And oftentimes it's pretty simple because you're going to use the same picture that you have and bio that you have on your website already. So it's just a matter of those stylists sitting down and taking the time to do their part of the survey. And again, as I had mentioned, it goes beyond just what services they provide. This is about who you are as a person and who your ideal client is, you know, because some stylists have very bold, dominant personality types. And there are some stylists who just are a little bit more methodical and have more of a supportive personality style. So this helps them identify who am I going to do my best work with, and how, you know, so that's kind of the power. It's the client feels like they're putting in the answers to find their perfect stylist. They've done that. And that's great. We want them to feel that way. But really the power is the stylists are the ones choosing their best clients. And once the stylists do that, the link goes live. The salon adds the link to their website and they can start promoting their link on social in marketing emails that they send out. And, you know, I had one salon that started it in just 2 days. They had 23 submissions come through. So what happens is after a client fills that, you know, survey out on they see their matches and right away they're going to get a call to action. They're going to say, you know, book your appointment here. If you have online booking, you can implement that. If you want them to call, if you want them to view your website, if you want them to look at your social media, all of those opportunities are right there in front of them when they see their matches. Additionally, two things are going to happen. The client's going to get an email reminding them of their matches and reminding them of, hey, book, call us, see our website. It's going to have all of that same information in an email to them, which is awesome. And your, you know, your front desk team is also going to get prompted with an email. It's going to say to your salon, you have a new match. And when you open up your email, you're going to see that Debbie took your style survey and she was matched with these three stylists. And Debbie's going to say, yes, I want you to email me opportunities to book. So now you're going to see that Debbie wants to get in for a hair color appointment. She's matched with these three people. Perfect. Now you can reply, offer her the opportunity for some openings that you have and close the deal. So this is essentially how it works in a, more of a summarized nutshell. But our team at Eat Your Stylist is, we're a boutique. So we're there to support our people and all of our salons that sign up. So if people are interested, we can talk further about that. But I hope that answers your question, Larissa.
Yeah, that's really great. I think it takes away all the fear and the worry. I've got some matches for a salon that I'm going to visit now. I've just been doing it while I've been chatting online. It's super simple, but really clear for me to know and build that trust factor. So this ultimately is, you know, Debbie now goes and has her hair done with a stylist. And then the next or the final challenge that we need to overcome is to make sure that client comes back. Because one out of three, it's the same on this side of the world. That's the same statistic here, averagely, that only one out of three clients comes back after the first appointment. Really, we should be doing better than that. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, this sort of retention after the first visit.
Well, that's a great question. And I hate it, but I love it. Just to keep bringing up your stylist, but that's really the whole point. You know, if the stylist and client are really set up properly in the first place and everybody's excited, they work well together, then they are going to come back again. We've sent out many surveys to people who have filled this out in, you know, from our salons. And it's so often it's really the client who appreciates that the most. A lot of salons use Meet Your Stylist because, yes, it's an awesome way to get new clients in the door. And of course, it's a brilliant way to keep them. But a lot of them have Meet Your Stylist because it's a customer service amenity. And simply, they want to offer this service to their clients. Because at the end of the day, you hit it on the trust factor. The sales process is, I have to know you. I have to like you. Then I have to trust you. And then I'll buy from you. So when you have Meet Your Stylist, it really expedites that process. And now we already are in a trusting relationship. So really, if you want to increase your new client retention rate, if you want that new client to come back again, it's so important that we got it right the first time with whom they, you know, which stylist chair they sat in. And then it becomes a whole different conversation internally about, you know, your stylist pre-booking. There are many things that stylists need to do to really control the outcome of a new client experience, and pre-booking them for their future appointment is crucial to that. So it's not just that the client is going to come back, but you know, the stylists have to take it that one step further and actually set that up. And we all know that needs to happen from the beginning, right? When you have that initial consultation. And friends, the best advice I've heard in the last year is when you're doing a consultation, you need to do it at the client's first visit and their second, third, 14th, 50th, like every single appointment, you need to start fresh with a consultation. It'll be a game changer for you in regard to not just solving problems for their hair and products, but you are really creating this program for them. You're their expert, and you need to be pre-booking and planning ahead and visualizing their style and, you know, what's going to happen at their future appointment. So that all starts during the consultation. So that's really, if salon owners want to control this, I would say 100% meet your stylist is it. And then having that internal education and plan where every single person knows that it is a standard of the salon to be pre-booking your clients for future appointments.
All right, this is so much good gold information. I mean, really, we've decided who we're going to who we want to bring into the business. We've gone out to find them in person and digitally. We have given them all the tools they need to make the right decision that our business and our stylists are the right ones for them, and ensuring that they come back. So it's a can't fail solution that you've really delivered for us today. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you so much.
Been amazing. Look, you're a business owner too, and do you have a mantra or a quote or something that you live by as a business owner that keeps you sane? Because it's tough being in business sometimes. Tell us a quote that you have.
Well, I don't know how many of you out there are a huge fan as I am of Zig Ziglar.
Yes.
Okay. So one of my favorite quotes from him is, you need to plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win.
Nice. And is that something that you've lived by in your own business?
Well, I'm like, okay, my salon is called Be Inspired Salon. So I'm almost like a motivational, inspirational quote junkie. I love any books that are related to topics such as that. So I could go on and on about the different, you know, things that I live by. But yes, I think that we all hear these stories of successful people that say, you know, it's just a matter of, I just didn't give up. We're all knocked down. We all have struggles. But if you simply decide that you're not going to give up and you prepare and you plan and expect to win, I believe that you will be a winner. You will be a winner. So yes, it's one of those encouraging quotes that we need to consistently remind ourselves of.
For sure. Absolutely. What about a book or a webinar or a course or a podcast? You can mention your own one again, please, if you will. But what's something that our listeners should go and look for that you recommend?
Well, if people are digging the beauty industry, you know, you and I bring different things to the table, yet we're still friendly. And so I love that. Thank you. So if people are into the beauty industry, I would highly recommend checking out the Beyond the Technique podcast. And that is related to, you know, as we kind of talked about earlier, everything that goes beyond the technique, right? So that's, to me, the business side of things. I love it. Gosh, I'm reading so many good things right now, but I will bring up one book that I have next to me. I'm reading it right now, and it's called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And if your salon, I think this is so interesting because, you know, we get a ton of education as hairstylists, and it's all on how to be a better technician. But the fact is that 80% of clients leave after they've been a client. So this is somebody who's visited at least 2 to 3 times. So once you consider them a client, typically clients leave for non-technical reasons. And if we don't work on our emotional intelligence, it doesn't matter how smart we are. This is the difference maker. The people who have high emotional intelligence are the most successful people, more successful people than those who have high IQs. So to me, I was just so excited to dive into this book. I would highly recommend it for every salon owner.
And who's the author?
It's Travis Bradbury and Jean Greaves.
All right. I shall put that link on the show notes page on my website. Well, look, thank you so much for sharing your words of wisdom. Congratulations on creating such an awesome product for the industry. I'm super pleased and encourage you to all go and check it out. So why don't you tell us, what is your dub and your socials where people can come and stalk you?
Oh, yes. So please visit meetyourstylist.com. You could email me directly at Katie, K-A-T-I, at meetyourstylist.com. And then on social, you can visit, gosh, there's just so many, but you can follow, you know, we'd love for you to follow Be Inspired Salon. It's B as in boy, E. So B-E, Be Inspired Salon. Meet Your Stylist is on Instagram, and so is Beyond the Technique. So we're all there, present, active, and we'd love to connect with all of you.
Fantastic. Really appreciate you joining us today.
Well, thank you so much, Larissa. It's been my pleasure, and thank you so much for reaching out.
So there you have it. I encourage you to check out her website because it sounds great, right? If you love listening to this podcast, then please review the podcast on iTunes, because when you do, more salon owners like you can find out about this podcast and the awesome guests that we have on the show. So thank you so much for doing that, and I look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.